Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right. So today, Joe Biden sworn in as resident of the White House, where he will live.
Yes.
We'll deal in facts today.
Yes, he will.
He will be, at least on this show, resident Joe Biden, as in resident of the White House. So when you hear me say resident, I am not misspeaking or committing a verbal flub. That is how I will describe him. He is a guy who lives at the White House. And is sworn in, and that's why he gets to live there. So there we go. You know, I am old enough to remember 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's way back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And what the headlines looked like on this day. When the New York Times was assuring us, and back then it was hip, okay? This is a long time ago. It was hip, it was hot, it wasn't insurrection or treason. To suggest that President Trump wasn't actually the president. He was a pretender who had been put into office by Putin's election meddling. Here's from the New York Times on this day, 4 years ago. American law enforcement and intelligence agencies are examining intercepted communications. This is all a lie, by the way. We know that now. And financial transactions as part of a broad investigation into possible links between Russian officials and associates of President Donald Trump. Trump will take the oath of office on Friday with his associates under investigation. After intelligence agencies concluded, we would learn this was a lie, that the Russian government had worked to help elect him. As president, Mr. Trump will oversee those agencies and have the authority to redirect or stop at least some efforts. They went on to question whether Trump was actually the president or if the interference by Putin had thrown the election. So this was hip. It was hot. It was what they do. It was on this day that the Washington establishment, remember, declared a never-ending war on Trump. So the New York Times led the charge. Here's from the New York Times. The FBI is leading the investigation, aided by the National Security Agency, the CIA, and the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Unit. The investigations have accelerated their efforts in recent weeks, but have found no conclusive evidence of wrongdoing. They never would. And so they went on to question on this day whether Trump was the president. Today, if you try to do that with the hashtag stop the steal, they'll shut your account down. The hashtag stop the steal doesn't even work. But back then, questioning whether Trump was the president was hip. It was hot. It was what everybody was doing. It wasn't insurrection or treason or anything like that. It was good.
And if I remember correctly, too, that there were protesters in the streets and there was some amount of violence.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I put the pictures of the violence from that day up. Mm-hmm. My favorite is the limo they blew up. They exploded it. They bombed it. It blew up. 200 people were arrested in the violence, which totaled millions of dollars in destruction. But it was hip, remember? It was cool. That was back when, like, Obama, you know, like Madonna wanted to blow up the White House, yeah. And that was celebrated.
Right, of course.
Because violence is good as long as the right people commit it. And that hasn't changed for 4 years. By the way, those 200 people that were arrested, during which store windows were shattered, businesses were burned, and a parked limousine was blown up, those 200 people. You want to know, they were charged and arrested for their violent protest. By the way, I'm reading this from The Garden, Guardian, the liberal UK paper. Mm-hmm. They describe it as a violent protest. Let me read you the first line. Because back then you could admit that. You can't anymore. The U.S. government is dropping charges against at least 39 people accused of participating in the violent protest on the day of Trump's inauguration. Do you know how many of the 200 people arrested would ultimately be convicted or sentenced?
I'm going to say zero.
Wow. You are psychic. Hey, if this gig doesn't work out, you can get a job on the psychic hotline.
There we go,
Yeah, me too. 200 people arrested. All charges dropped by the Department of Injustice. 100%. 100%. And we didn't read anything like we're reading today. Every local community who had somebody investigated by the FBI looked into their names splashed across the pages as if they are the very definition of treason. That didn't happen. And I can guarantee to you there ain't going to be a one of them arrested that were inside the Capitol that are going to get away without a conviction. The charges won't be dropped by the Department of Injustice. They won't be brushed aside or put away or, oh, shucks, they can get another limo. It's okay if you blow it up. Who needs a limo anyway? The business owners went about the business of fixing their business, and, you know, nobody cared. But the standard in this country, dual justice, Lee has now moved from nonviolent crimes, accepting the idea that liberals have privilege and they can commit nonviolent crimes with impunity, to the idea that they can commit violent crimes with impunity. That's where we are right now in this country. I cannot imagine where we will be 4 years from now. So there's not going to be any protests today because the Capitol is locked down. I mean, do you realize in our entire history, we have never had this many National Guard soldiers ever deployed in the Capitol? Ever.
And as they've been famously saying here, that there are currently more American military service members being assigned to Washington, D.C. today than are in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yes. And Tucker Carlson, so far last night, we're going to play an epic rant from him next, is to say this is a show of power.
Oh, yeah.
This level of force is absolutely not necessary. Given the level of the threat. But this is a show of power. It's like a Republican Guard. By the party. So this is where we are today. We are talking literally in terms of Republicans, all 74, almost 75 million as terrorists, all of us. The stuff that's out there in the news today is just, it's just absolutely nuts. I mean, 9/11 style truth commission. And Americans probably don't recognize a lot of this stuff because they haven't seen it before. I mean, we haven't lived in a totalitarian regime or a South American tin pot dictatorship. But what happens in places like Venezuela and other places, the opposition who runs for office who loses is then treated like a criminal. Mm-hmm. This is a feature of authoritarian regimes and, you know, authoritarian socialist societies. And they are treated like a criminal and a terrorist. And that happens in Venezuela. It happens in other places, and we're seeing that here.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
this is what the left does and
social
has done
media
for 100 years.
And the mainstream media are full of this.
It's terrifying what's out there. I've got some audio.
Oh, I'm just going to say, you know, on my phone, I've got one of these news feed things here that Apple does. And one of the reasons that I subject myself to that is so that I can see what the left is doing. And you get all this stuff from The Atlantic, The New York Times. Of course, I'm bad about always sending you these nasty things from The Atlantic, Tara, that, you know, just sorry, look what they're saying now. And it is amazing to me the way that you, and I mean, if you voted Republican in this past election, you are considered an enemy of the state.
Yes.
That is exactly the attitude. And you should be deprogrammed.
You should tune in to CNN or one of these networks for a few minutes today. I know that hurts.
Yeah.
I want you to see, because if you don't listen to what they're saying and you listen to me, I sound nuts repeating it. They are painting you as an enemy of the state, a domestic threat, and yes, a terror threat. And I kid you not, yesterday, Lee, Republicans were compared to ISIS.
And if that doesn't
scare you. And described as terrorists.
And if that doesn't scare you enough, think of it this way. The people in the media that are saying this, their political allies are now in total control of the United States government.
Yes. and you are number one on their hit list. And if you want to understand that, by the way, they're already creating units within Department of Homeland Security and the FBI to come after you, domestic terrorism units, to come after you.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
So while you blissfully listen to talk radio, they are talking about you in the mainstream media. Terrorists, domestic terrorists, insurrectionists. Believe them. Listen to them. This is what the Battleground podcast was about yesterday. There is a plan afoot, and I dealt with it on the podcast in depth, but there's a plan afoot. You know the ideological purity test screening that they're doing right now of the National Guard and their political points of view? Yeah, they think that's fabulous. And since people who are white and male and probably voted for Trump don't just serve in the National Guard, but they also serve in police departments, they're going to go through every police department in the nation looking for domestic terrorists. You know, people who support the cult of Trump. They're actually using the word cult and deprogramming a lot. You've probably heard it. It's pretty bad. And I had the audio right here. Now I don't know where it is. But I want you to hear some of what is being said on CNN. They are flat out comparing you. Now, it would be one thing if we were talking about comparing like maybe a couple of dozen people who stormed the Capitol to ISIS terrorists. That would be a stretch. But okay. But they're not doing that. They are wildly extrapolating. So much so, again, that the FBI has opened, along with the Department of Homeland Security, offices that they will use to go through the background. They say it's what they want to do. It's in their domestic terrorism defense bill that has already been filed, to go through and background every law enforcement officer in this entire country, from the tiniest sheriff's department to the biggest metropolitan police department. The FBI is going to do this with Department of Homeland Security. They're just starting with the National Guard. I want you to hear how nuts they are. And this is one of these things on talk radio, and I get the feedback from the texters. I'm sure it's on the text line. You sound crazy, Terry. You sound like Alex Jones. You sound nuts. I'm just repeating what they're saying. It's not me. I'm just a messenger. They're nuts. You want to hear this? This is former Facebook executive Alex Stamos. He's on CNN. And CNN has got a real problem with podcasters and YouTubers who have bigger audiences than CNN. They don't like that. Shouldn't be allowed, right? And they're on there comparing you and conservative podcasters to ISIS. Let me let that sink in for a minute. And talking about the need to silence us all. We're not talking about a few crazy people that they name. We're talking about everybody. Who is part of the domestic terrorism cabal in this country? You want to know? A couple crazy QAnon supporters. No. You want to know who they named after suggesting they were like ISIS? Newsmax. OANN. One American News Network. ISIS. ISIS. Take a listen to this. Look, this is what CNN sounds like right now. This should scare you.
ISIS did not have a domestic constituency in the United States Congress, but there is over half of the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN, and they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes. This is, you know, allowing people to seek out information if they really want to, but not pushing it into their faces, I think is where we're going to have to go here.
And the final solution for Newsmax and OANN. What, just to remind you, what did I tell you the first thing, one of the first things they'd do after the election? Actually, I'm batting 100 right now. I said the first thing they'd do was amnesty because of all the Democrat votes. One party system created in one day. By the way, they're sending the amnesty bill over today. So you got to get through before you get a good look at it. Got to get through before their supporters get a good look at it. And understand their jobs just got replaced. Particularly blue-collar workers, who my heart breaks for this morning. But you're talking, I told you that would happen, and that is happening. I told you they would immediately come for Newsmax and OANN, and they are coming for Newsmax and OANN. Now, don't console yourself with thinking, well, I'll just go get it on the App Store. No, sorry about that. Not going to be able to do that. Any of the App Store, no, I'm not going to be there. Well, I'm sure some nice website will host them. You mean like Parler? Like that? I was wondering what it was like to live in an authoritarian regime and what the early days of that were like and why the people didn't fight harder before they lost their rights. I wondered that as a kid. You know, those years you spent studying, you know, the history books when such a thing was still talked about. And communism was still bad. Socialism was still bad. And now I get it. I understand. I get it. Half the country wouldn't have seen it coming and wouldn't have understood until they were mired in quicksand and sinking. And there was no way out. So I just wanted you to hear them describe you as ISIS-style terrorists and list the ISIS-style terrorists as Newsmax and OANN. Just so you can understand. I'm not crazy, folks. I'm just repeating. I'm just a messenger. These people are nuts.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There are people who are radicalized right now, and it is going to take a very long time. And it's going to take a long time and a lot of effort to de-radicalize those people.
We have, there are millions of Americans, almost all white, almost all Republicans, who somehow need to be deprogrammed. It's as if they are members of a cult, the Trumpist cult.
How are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
Liberal journalists and lawmakers like Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez increasingly calling to deprogram President Trump supporters in the aftermath of the deadly Capitol riot. Just this morning, CNN ran a segment with a cult expert on how to de-radicalize the president's most extreme supporters.
The bottom line is all of America needs deprogramming because we've all been negatively influenced by Donald Trump. As someone who's studied brainwashing and mind control, the good news is that even though people can be radicalized, they can also be helped to come back to themselves. And that's what gives me hope for our country.
A cult expert. What is all this deprogramming talk? Keep in mind, if you've learned anything listening over the years, they're always going somewhere. This is never idle chatter. They do the justification first to create the fake problem, then introduce the radical solution that people might not have accepted had they gotten it cold. What's this about? It's all one thing. So we've had Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, in the last week, suggest that, you know, Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, just has too much power. He said he really didn't like having to take the president's Twitter account away. I really didn't like it. So what we need is for no one man to have so much power. And I'm thinking, well, that's great, chat. And then I see the next tweet. What we need is a committee to set the standards for who gets banned off the internet. And guess who has already hired people for that committee and is paying them? Boy, that would be Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. So we can set, he said, one standard for the internet that everybody will be for. And folks, when he's saying this, keep in mind, we're not just talking about one standard for America. This would be one standard for the world. What Dorsey is saying is two things. I want the monopolistic, antitrust protections that violate the law for Twitter. So in order to make sure nobody creates a social media platform to compete with me, I'm going to make sure everybody on the internet is banned from allowing free speech. Because if you can't have free speech and the rules are the same on Facebook and Twitter and any other social media platform, why would you go to another one with less people on it? What would even be the point of that? So Jack gets richer and you lose your free speech. But what it means is if you get banned on Facebook, you get banned everywhere. This announcement by Jack Dorsey, you follow the dots and I'll connect them for you, okay? Then AOC says about 24 hours later that the Democrats in Congress are planning a study commission. They're going to study how the truth got out. They call the truth lies. They're going to study how the truth has been getting to people and make sure to stop that. Her effort and Jack Dorsey's, you will see, will be the same. This is what they're preparing you for. That's why they're calling you a domestic terrorist. That's why they're calling you a cult, a cult member. What will this platform look like? And I'm just stringing all this stuff together. This is my own work. I've been watching this closely. The head of the Mozilla Foundation, you know, Mozilla is behind the Firefox web browser. Yeah, the CEO has come out with a proposal just like Twitter head Jack Dorsey's. And what it would do, and we already have some of this in social media, but this would be extreme. She says we need to turn on the tools to amplify factual voices over disinformation. These would be the people, say, for instance, that are going to get amplified. The ones who lied to you for 3 years about Russia collusion and got that story wrong, the biggest story of the 3 years. These would be the people who told you that Biden's son, Hunter Biden, was not actually in collusion with China or under investigation by the FBI and that was Russian disinformation, as was his laptop. They got that wrong. Those people will be amplified. The ones telling you the truth, like the New York Post, will be crushed. And of course, the people being amplified will get rich, even though their journalism sucks. And only about 10% of the American public trust them. It's a Politburo, by default. It's brilliant. Government can't constitutionally do it, so they'll just outsource it. So the Mozilla Firefox CEO is proposing, turn on the tools to amplify factual voices over disinformation. Work with researchers to do in-depth studies of social media platforms' impact on people in our societies and what they can do to improve things. So what they're going to do is see who gets the disinformation they force on you. See what they can get you to believe. Study you. Improve their processes for propaganda and continue. This is all on the table. Do you know why this is on the table, by the way? Do you know why? I'll tell you why it's on the table. Because no one says stop. That's why. Oh, I mean, there's people on the internet saying stop, but then they lose their social media accounts or they get put in Facebook jail. No, the reason this is happening is because you have no representation in Washington. Because as these outrages pile up day after day after day, I don't pay attention to who's talking. I pay attention to who's not. Kevin McCarthy, hear anything from him? Occasionally he'll mention social media censorship. He's the head of the Republicans in the House. You seen him do anything to stop it? No. Did Paul Ryan do anything to stop it when he was Speaker? No. No, he called for more. Where's Mitch McConnell? You heard one word about social media censorship from Mitch? Even one. Nope. No. He is too busy suggesting that Trump has been an abomination and been terrible and caused violence and that sort of thing. Essentially stabbing you, me, and everybody else in the back. Okay, so they watch the Republican leadership. And listen, if you could get the Republican leadership to unite at the national level and call them out. Do press conferences. Call them out for censorship. Call it what it is, Stalinist. You could begin to get some of the middle concerned. It is because we have no meaningful elected representation, because the Republicans are silent, that this is happening. And as they see the silence, they push a little more, and they push a little more. Now they're talking about 9/11 style truth commissions, mass censorship, led by a congressional study commission, deplatforming people right off the internet, keeping Parler down. Have you noticed not a single objection about Parler by the Republican leadership? Not one. Isn't that weird? These are their own voters. I mean, you got to ask what the long-term strategy here is for the GOP leadership. I mean, do they really think they're going to be allowed to run campaign commercials in 2022 at this rate? I guess they do. Man, do they have a lesson coming. When you were young, do you still look at older people and think, ah, I don't want to get old. Looks awful. Metabolism declines, so does your energy. You get the gray hairs, all that stuff. Do what I thought. And according to a new survey of 2,000 grandparents, I'd love to know if you feel this way. It's just interesting to me. 81% of them say getting old isn't nearly as bad as they thought it would be when they were younger. I would agree with that. I'm not anywhere near grandparent age yet. I've still got kids in elementary school. But, you know, I'm feeling it. I got the aches and pains. I can tell what's coming. 81% of them said getting old isn't nearly as bad as they thought it would be when they were younger. 45% of those surveys said they're more carefree now than they used to be, and that makes them happy. Plus, there's no rule that you have to stop doing things you like when you get older. 43% of the people in the survey say they still try to live their lives just like they did when they were younger. 45% say they're more carefree now than they used to be. And 3 out of 4 say there's nothing like they're nothing like their grandparents were at that age. I bet that's not true. Anyway, yeah, the aches and pains are a pain in the neck. But other than that, texter writes, no, it sucks. All right, come on, I'm trying to brighten your day here. All right. Texter writes, Tara, help, I must be reprogrammed. Wish me luck. I do. Texter writes, Joe Biden will never be my president. Look, saying not my president about Trump was totally legit for 4 years. Texter writes, Tara, Tara, I think God gave us Trump to see what freedom and prosperity is, to see if it would change us. We failed. We still want destruction. You know what is so remarkable about everything we're seeing right now? Is that we're about to tear this country apart. The Biden policies will bring back economic stagnation. We know, because they're the same as the Obama policies that caused economic stagnation. We could have had prosperity. We could have had endless rungs on the ladder to prosperity for all people, blue collar, white collar, everyone. We had a year last year, 2019, before the fake shutdowns that we now know were absolutely not necessary to stop the spread of the pandemic. That's Newsweek, not me. Take it up with them if you disagree. Shutdowns had no effect other than to kill 1,500 small businesses a day. In 2019, average median household income rose 6% on average for a family of four in the United States of America, and 7% for black families. Highest ever. Highest ever. Can you imagine what a couple of years of that back to back would have been like? See, most countries that go through upheaval like this, it starts with economic problems that are unfixable. They're systemic. They are baked into the cake. Can't get rid of them. We don't have those. We could live like nobody else if we chose it. But what we chose instead, tens of millions of you anyway, was to have a president who's nice. You wanted a president who's always nice. Nice to our enemies, nice to our friends, even when our friends slap roll us over, run us over with trade deals that hurt us. You put a premium on being nice, but you didn't understand you don't get to have the 6% annual income increase lifestyle. You don't get to have that. It's expensive. So we are about to go through a lot of suffering. But, you know, I am really grateful. I mean, economically, we are. I am really grateful for the Trump years. Because the Bush policy, the parties of the Uniparty, the policies, the economic policies of the Uniparty that were so destructive. I mean, do you realize until Trump gave us that 6% wage increase on average, do you realize for 20 years our income, our wages stagnated? They didn't grow. That's why you felt so poor by the Obama administration. Bush did it too. I mean, the disastrous economic policies were the same. And they had to invent excuses for why there was no growth. And you remember the days of going to the grocery store and you spent $50 and came out with a plastic bag. And you didn't get anything, everything you wanted or you needed. We don't have to live like that. And for 4 years, for just a little while, we got to not live like that. And the good thing is people have actually seen it. So perhaps they will recognize that it is gone. In a way, they wouldn't have had it just been Bush, Obama. And the same disastrous economic policies.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.